So when you look in the mirror, do you like what you see? Or do you, as some, loathe what you see? When you see yourself in a photo, how do you react? Or you hear your voice in a recording, or you see yourself in a video, what do you think of you? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look at your life from a different perspective. Yeah, so how do you react to seeing yourself or hearing yourself? I used to hate seeing myself in a photo. Now, part of that was the fact that I was carrying so much extra weight. That bit's changed over the last few years as I've slimmed down by rather a lot. But isn't it funny how we can cringe when we see what we look like or hear how we speak? I remember when I first started this whole radio gig way back, I think it was in 1998, so it's been quite a few years. I'd go into the recording studio feeling quite uncertain about myself. Max, my producer back then, who still incidentally is my producer today, one of the most preached at people on the planet, poor fella, he'd record what I said and then edit out the stumbles and turn it into a radio program. I distinctly remembered the first time I listened to one of them. I was horrified. Is that what I sound like? You're kidding me. See, to me, my voice and how I spoke the words, it didn't seem normal the way other people speak. When I finally heard myself played back, I thought I sounded, well, weird, odd. Surely people wouldn't want to listen to this stuff. Now, of course, we do all sound different. We all look different. We're all distinctly different from one another. But layered over the top of that, when you think about it, is this sense of inadequacy through which we judge ourselves. Haven't you ever thought about how funny that is, that we can see ourselves in the mirror, bleary-eyed every morning, and yet when we see ourselves in a photo, we cringe? Or the fact that when we've been talking all our lives, hearing our own words as we speak, but then you might hear a recording of yourself, and you're horrified by what you hear. This phenomenon that 99% of us are all too familiar with speaks about a sense of inadequacy, a sense of poor self-esteem. It's fed a lot by the fact that we don't match up to the images of beauty that we see in the magazines and on television. I frankly am never likely to have one of those rippling muscular bodies like the guys plastered across the front of the Men's Health and Men's Fitness magazines. And for you women, that sense of inadequacy can be even worse. Society tells you what you have to look like, something that's pretty much impossible to achieve. And in fact, as I've said a few times before on this program, it's this gap between those ideal images of success and beauty on the one hand and who we perceive ourselves to be on the other that advertisers exploit ruthlessly to drive sales for their product. Next time you watch an ad on television, watch it really carefully, critically. There's an implicit brand promise on the ad. Buy this product or service, and you can look like this, or have this, or be this, or have other people think of you like this. And then when that doesn't work, having spent your money, they dangle the next carrot under your nose. Is it any wonder that so many people just don't like themselves? That so many people are so unhappy with who they are and what they have and where their life's headed? Now just stop and think about this for a moment. When you look at you, how happy are you with you? Are you falling into this trap of comparing yourself with those false, unattainable images of success, trying to achieve them but knowing that you never will? Come on a scale of 0 to 10, how happy are you with you? How comfortable are you in your skin? Now, I know that none of us is perfect, and of course, we need to think realistically and soberly about our flaws and our weaknesses. We should never stop growing and maturing, and we should always be ready to make the changes we need to make. But that's entirely different to having this nagging sense of inadequacy that so many people live with day after day. We're chatting at the moment on the program about living a stunning life. What sort of life are you going to be living if you're never happy with who you are? The Bible, God's very word to you and me, tells us this about ourselves. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18. The psalmist writes, "For it was you, God, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Oh, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book are written all the days that were formed for me when none of them has yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They're more than the sand. I come to the end and I'm still with you. In other words, the psalmist who wrote that is saying to God, I'm completely amazed, totally gobsmacked at who I am, who you made me to be. I just can't get my mind around it, Lord. What a different view that is to the one that's reflected back from those distorted mirrors that the advertising industry holds up before us. God made you. He didn't make a mistake. He wasn't churning out sloppy work that day. The same hands that flung stars into space, the same hands that worked the timbers in that carpenter's shop in Nazareth, the same hands that were nailed to the cross for you were the hands that laid down every strand of your DNA, every gene, every chromosome that defines who you are is the sovereign choice of the living God who sent his son to die for you. And you are utterly amazing. You are who God made you to be, and you have a choice here. You can either believe what the world's telling you about you, or you can start believing what God's telling you about you. Which one of those do you think is the more reliable? Which one do you think is telling the truth? Which one is going to set your feet on the road to living the stunning life that God planned for you to live, do you think exactly? I remember one of my lecturers at Bible College, Dr. Barry Chan, talking about this to me years ago, and he implored us to ditch our self-image and replace it with a faith image. Not such bad advice when you think about it. And what happens when we start doing that is that little by little we're set free from this burden and sense of inadequacy, and it's replaced with a quiet confidence in who we are and who we aren't. And it's that second part that's just important. You know how it feels when you compare yourself with someone else. You're not as good looking, you're not as smart, you're not as articulate, you're not as wealthy, or whatever it is. But then you were never meant to be anything like that other person. God made you to be you. I used to feel so inadequate because of all the things I wasn't good at until I started to wrap my mind around who God made me to be, until I let the Word of God, and let me tell you, Psalm 139 is still one of my favourite passages, to let the Word of God do its mighty work in me. I realised just how much I changed when I started shooting TV programs and I saw myself for the first time on television. When the producer played the first program back, I was steeling myself for that awkward feeling of seeing myself on the TV, but it didn't come. I really liked what I saw. Yeah, okay, tweak here and improvement there. But I realised in that moment how wonderful it is for me to accept me just as God accepts me, for me to see myself through God's eyes rather than through this nonsensical, distorted, false view that the world wants to reflect back at me. It totally transforms your life. It sets you free to be who God made you to be. Listen to me. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's unique creation. He loves you so much that he's prepared to have his son die to save you so that you can spend eternity with him. Wrap your heart around that and you are on the road to a stunning life, let me tell you. Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you. Because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential, your name won't be displayed, and in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in this way. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please let us pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time on Monday with a different perspective.